Man, well, it is good to be together, and it is, you know, I'll name it. There's kind of the elephant in the room is that it's a little bit different today, which we knew would be the case. But I'm so grateful to be here, and kind of like you have to relearn coming to church and a new time and all this, I kind of have to relearn like preaching to a crowd. I kind of got comfortable with just me and a camera in an empty sanctuary. But even in the midst of that, I know that the Lord was present, and that's what we need is His presence. So here this morning, it's no different. We need His presence here among us, and I pray today that we would hear from Him through His Word, that you wouldn't hear from me, but you would hear from Him through His Word. And so today I'm going to start kind of a new series called Dreams and Visions, and I want to begin this new series and this message today by having us think for a moment about dreams and visions. And specifically, I want us to think about whether or not we believe that God is still giving us dreams and visions. Do we believe today that God is still giving dreams and visions to His people? Do we believe today that God is still speaking? Because the alternative is silence. My goodness, that would be tragic to have to live your life worshiping the Lord who never speaks, who is silent. So if God is speaking today, then what is He saying to us? Or maybe better yet, what is He saying to you? What are you hearing from the Lord these days? And is God giving you any kind of dream or vision? A God-given dream or vision? I think we could probably safely say today that many people in our world today are having a lot of dreams and visions when it comes to peace and freedom, right? I'm not saying anything that's going to surprise you this morning, right? All you have to do is step outside or turn on anything, and you'll see there's a lot of things happening in our world, and a lot of people are dreaming about peace and freedom. And the way that the media portrays things, it's almost as if we think this is something new, but this is not anything new. People have always dreamed of peace and freedom. And I tend to think that it's innate within us, as in if you go to the beginning of this book and you begin to read the creation account that God created us to be with Him, living with Him in the garden in peace. And so what we see kind of happening in the world today is people not even knowing God, people that think God is dead and silent, deep within who they are, they have this dream and this hope and this desire bubbling up within them for freedom. Where does that come from? I tend to think it comes from creation, that God intended for us to be with Him. But as we know, sin came in and separated us. And so we live so much of our lives being separated from the Lord. So the question today is peace possible? My message title today is Peace Like a River. We don't have bulletins today, so you guys are like, I don't know. You can still take notes. If you have a pen, write it on your neighbor's hand. Or use your phone or something, whatever you want to do. But the message is peace like a river. And we just sang that beautiful hymn, it as well. Peace like a river attendeth my way. Is peace possible today? Can the world really live in peace? Can people live in unity? Now, I don't usually preach the news, so I'm not going to. My aim here is to preach God's word, and I have a burden to share what's on my heart today. So what is peace? Is it just the absence of conflict, or is it something more? And what is the source of peace, or maybe who is a better question? Have you experienced that kind of peace that we just sang about? Peace like a river that comes along your way. Peace that enters your life so that you can really sing that song and mean it, like, it is well with my soul. Have you experienced that kind of peace? It's not something that you can generate in your own strength. Because all of us, even on our best day, our mind at some point is going to deceive us. So this peace is something that is outside of what we can generate on our own. It's a peace that flows into our life, a peace that we're missing. So can you answer that? Can you say today it as well? Because many people today, if they're honest, they can't say that. And again, certainly what we see happening in our world, so many people would say, no, it is not well. It is not well with my soul. So if we're not careful, we can become overwhelmed by all of it. So what is happening these days? Well, the last time I preached was a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Al shared the message last week, but 2 weeks ago was Pentecost Sunday. And those of you who know the story of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out like tongues of fire. And we've got that display of stained glass back there depicting that scene, the tongues of fire falling and separating and landing on each of them. And they were able to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Beautiful picture. But if you remember that account after that event happened and they were speaking, Peter stands up and he begins to explain what is happening. Peter stands and he says these words to us in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And as he's speaking, he's pulling from the Old Testament. Peter says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Peter is literally just pulling from the prophet Joel. Joel says it this way in 2nd chapter of Joel, verse 28. He says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Dreams and visions. Do you think people are still dreaming dreams and seeing visions? Just look around at what is happening. Is God in any of it? All of these things that are happening, is God in any of it? And the answer is yes, God is present. And yes, God does initiate things by his Spirit, but not everything that is happening is of God or is from God. Right? Can we acknowledge that? Can we agree today? You're very quiet. You're out of practice. But can we agree today that God does initiate things, that he speaks things in and through his people, but that not everything that we see happening is from God? Right, we need to make that statement right up front. So this morning I want to take us to the book of Isaiah. And if I could invite you into something these next few weeks, I would invite you into reading the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is profound, it is powerful, and I think it says a lot to us for this day that we live in today. So I'm going to begin in the second chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah is writing during a difficult time. Guess what? This is not the only difficult time that humanity has ever faced. Isaiah is writing during a difficult time in the history of God's people. When Isaiah was alive, the Assyrian Empire was expanding and the Israelites were shrinking and decreasing. Like they could see the writing on the wall, so to speak. The enemy was gaining ground. And this is the time in which Isaiah was alive, in which he was writing. And in Isaiah 2, he sees this vision from the Lord concerning the last days. Right? We've just connected Pentecost, what Peter said, and Joel, and what was going to happen in the last days. This is what Isaiah sees from the Lord as going to happen in the last days. Isaiah 2, beginning in the second verse. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The Lord has given this word to Isaiah that in the last days, the Lord's house will be the most important place on earth. It will be the highest of all, and all nations will stream to it. People will be talking. Imagine that, right? People will be talking. Oh, this is a side note. I kind of long for the day when people stop talking. But Isaiah is saying in the last days, people will be talking. And they'll say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Why? So that we can learn God's ways, so that we be trained in his ways, so that we can follow his path. And the Lord will be the judge, the mediator. We could sure use some mediators right now. He will be the one who will settle disputes between people. Nation will no longer fight against nation or train for war anymore. Man, that's like a totally different narrative. I don't hear the Republican Party or the Democratic Party promoting that kind of platform. It's almost as if there's another way, like a kingdom way. And he gives us this beautiful image of them hammering their swords into plows, their spears into pruning hooks, no longer to be used for death, but now turned over to be used for a new purpose, for life and for harvest. So what could bring about such a drastic change? What makes the difference? Only God can change a heart like that. So Isaiah is given this amazing vision like 700 years before Jesus was even born. So did this vision come to pass? Did it happen in Isaiah's lifetime? Has it come to pass today? Are there still wars and rumors of wars? Are there still disputes and disturbances? Yes. Unfortunately, here the nation of Israel did not listen to Isaiah or to God's word. Instead, they chose to continue in their sin. We see in Isaiah chapter 8 that God's people reject what God is offering to them. So I want us to turn over to Isaiah chapter 8 for a moment. In Isaiah 8, there's this wonderful gift that God is wanting to give, and the people reject it. So I want us to jump into chapter 8, verse 5. The Lord spoke to Isaiah again. This is what the Lord says. Because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. I don't know if I've ever noticed that. That's probably one of my favorite things right there, just to say. The king of Assyria with all of his pomp. Can you imagine it? It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. Emmanuel. God wanted to give his people rest. Shiloh is a place of rest and stillness. Shiloh is quiet waters. You see it in the New Testament, the Pool of Siloam. It's a picture of quiet waters. And the historian Josephus, if you know who that is, he described Shiloh as this place of sweetness and abundance. It reminds me of that song we sang, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." This is what God wanted to give to his people, but they rejected the gently flowing waters of rest. They made a decision to not live from a place of trust and rest. Instead, they chose their own way. Now, I'm sure none of us have ever made a decision like that, to do our own thing, to neglect what God wants to do in and through us. But this is what God's people did. So God, in turn, through Isaiah, says this is what will happen. The floodwaters are going to come. Now, there is no peace in a flood, and I know some of you here have experienced a flood. I see some Cedar Falls folks that have lived through some flooding, right? A flood is not peaceful. It is disruptive. It is not a place of rest. Instead, it changes life. Everything's turned upside down, and you have to flee. So God says the floodwaters are going to come. Certainly there is no peace when there is a flood, and certainly there is no peace when an invading army comes, when the king of Assyria comes on the scene with all of his pomp and circumstance. Maybe that's where we get it from. Pomp and circumstance. But God allowed this to happen. Right? He said it was going to happen. It does happen. God allows it to happen. But it wasn't without warning. Right? God chose to give this word to Isaiah. This is what you can expect. And today we have a so much more complete word that he has given to us. So I think we need to pay attention. So God warns them and he gives them opportunity to change their ways. And thanks be to God, he is continually speaking generation after generation, giving us opportunity to respond to what the Spirit is saying to us, to turn from our ways. We are too also being warned if we will have ears to hear. So to continue in Isaiah chapter 8 in verse 11, this is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me. So Isaiah is like, all right, I've been hearing from the Lord, but the Lord is like punching my gut. I gotta say this. This is the warning that he has. Verse 12 says, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal it up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Isaiah has been given this warning from God. Essentially, don't think like everybody else is thinking. Don't see things the way that everyone else is seeing them. And right, that is like a sermon in itself. And honestly, that was my struggle today. What I wanted to preach is like five sermons. That's why I want us to read Isaiah together. But this is the warning. Don't see things like everybody else sees things. Don't go that way. So God gives him this heavy message and he has to share it. Don't live in dread like everybody else. Don't live in fear like everybody else. You are only to fear the Lord in awe and reverence of his majesty and his power. Amen. This is the word that Isaiah was given. Don't live in dread like they do. Don't live in fear. So perhaps today, if you've been living in fear, perhaps today there is a different way. Perhaps today there is a way of entering into rest. At the end of it, Isaiah says, I will put my trust in him. And with that, we too have the same choice. I will put my trust in him. With all of the messages swirling all around us and the constant stream of noise and news and media and opinions, I will put my trust in him. And yet so many of us are willing to believe anything and everything we hear and see. We're willing to stake a lot on a source we think is truthful. I hope you come back next Sunday. We're willing to believe what we hear and see, but are we willing to believe God's word? Do we believe his promises to us? Do we believe that there is a different way, that there is another way, there is a kingdom, that it is here, that it is the Lord, that he is establishing himself among us as his people? Do we believe that today? And do we believe that peace is possible? I believe the invitation for us today is to rest and to enter his peace. And as I was reading this and as I was working on this, especially last night, I felt as if the Lord wanted to whisper to us, just to tell us to quiet ourselves and to once again place our trust in him. And I'm no different than you. If I'm not careful, I can get swept up and I can become impassioned and I can see a route that looks like the path to walk, but it is probably not from the path that Isaiah is talking about, the path that leads to the mountain, the highest mountain. That is the path that we are to walk in the last days that leads us to his presence. So what can bring about the change? Where is the hope found? I want us to turn one last time to Isaiah, and this time chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And many of you know this passage from like Advent and Christmas, but it's a shame if that's the only time we ever hear this word from Isaiah. He says to us in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, "Nevertheless," connecting to what we just heard from chapter 8, that the floodwaters are going to come, that the Assyrian army was going to come, that the world was going to be flipped upside down. Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, in spite of everything else, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." There's this beautiful picture. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and apart from him, there is no peace. Apart from him, there is no peace. There's this short saying, it's a bumper sticker, but it sticks in our minds. It goes like this. It says, "No God, no peace. No God, no peace." A pastor came up with that. But I believe there's some truth behind that, as simple as it is. No Jesus, no peace. If you know Jesus, you can know peace. Paul would write in Ephesians 2 that Jesus himself is our peace. He is the one who can bring two opposing groups together. He is the one who can destroy barriers. So what is it in your life? What are the walls or barriers that you've put up? What is it that you've been fighting against? Or maybe what is it that you've been fighting for? What is it that Jesus wants you to turn over to him? Is it a relationship? Is it your marriage? Is it a relationship with your children, your grandchildren? What is it? Jesus is the one who can enter into that situation and transform it. He is the only one. He is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He is a mighty God and an everlasting Father. Jesus came preaching peace to those who were near and to those who were far off. So have you heard the good news? Have you received the rest, the invitation to rest that he is offering to you? What is flowing out of your life today? Is it rivers of peace and joy, life? That word Shiloh sounds a lot like the word shalom. They're different words with different meaning, but it sounds a lot like shalom, the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word shalom, that's a sermon in itself. It's so complex. But it means to be safe and healthy, complete, having a sense of well-being both within and without. So no matter what the circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent, we can have a sense of well-being within. And even when we go without, because peace is always present, ever flowing from the source, that mountain, right? That is the Lord, ever flowing from the source. So do you have that peace today? Friends, it's time for us to get back to the source. We are in the last days, and we have been in the last days. It is time for us to get back to the source. It's time for us to go back to the mountain of the Lord. It's time for us to go together, bringing as many people with us as we can, inviting them on this journey back to the Lord, back to the source of hope and peace and freedom. So let us remember his promises to us. Isaiah would later say in Isaiah 26 that the Lord will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him. So you don't even have to have peace in this moment, but if you trust him, he will keep you in peace. With our mind, it doesn't even make sense, but it is the invitation he has given us. So we must decide if we will choose to accept that invitation. I'd like for us to close together in prayer, and we'll worship the Lord one last time. Paul writes in Philippians 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it's more than we can comprehend. It doesn't even make sense to our earthly minds, but the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." But the calling is to prayer, to not be anxious, but to go to him in prayer. So this is the invitation we have together. So let us pray together. I'll invite the worship team to come. Let us pray together. And whatever it is the Lord has laid on your heart today, the best thing you can do is to offer it back to him. Whatever it is you're holding on to, a secret sin, a relationship, an anxiety, a stress, he wants you to surrender it to him. And he wants to give you his peace and his rest. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the invitation that you've given to each one of us. But Lord, we must choose to enter into that rest. You have given us the invitation, but we must receive that invitation to enter in. So Lord, I know for many people these last weeks and months have been a heavy burden to shoulder. For many who are isolated and perhaps who are still watching online, who feel isolated, there is an invitation for us to enter into his rest and his presence even in the midst of uncertainty. The Lord never told us we had to have all of the answers. He's just called us to follow after him, to place our trust in him. So Lord, this morning we are placing our trust in you, in your hands. You're more than able. Fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit and your presence, Lord. Grant us that peace that passes all understanding. And in a few moments when we leave this place, Father, I pray that we would leave with your presence and your peace flowing from us, straight from you, for you are the source. Father, be honored and glorified today. In and through your church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.